This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, I'm going to the beach where I belong.
Where the days are warm.
And the nights are long. Well. Is open daily.
At the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk, in the warm California sun. Boardwalk!
Nick Wilson joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He used to be the night host here at the Fan, and now he's fully torqued on WFNZ in Charlotte. Hello, Nick.
Hello, and if you haven't thought that, or if you guys don't think I haven't tried to already get Sachi here, you were wrong. But I realized that there might be like a 500-yard and a 500-mile like distance thing with Sachi. I might make him a little uncomfortable.
Well, you know, and we know that there's love there. But all right, Nick. So, how'd you get Hugh Jackson on your show? Because he won't come on here.
Curiosity. I was with the way things ended in Cleveland, with the way things went with him going to Cincinnati. We were getting ready to go into training camp here. This is kind of the dead time of year for us as well as, you know, after the All-Star game's always an interesting day. And honestly, I was just curious to see if the guy was going to double down and how he felt about the way things went down with Baker handing him the football. And he didn't disappoint. He's still Hugh Jackson.
Well, that was the thing that obviously did not surprise us. He did this tour at the end of the season. Television networks couldn't wait to put him on because they knew he would just continue to dig himself a deeper grave. But after listening to him, because I thought most of the interview, most of what I heard from you was fine, but he continued to say, when you go 0-16 at your best coaching job, that's just so laughable on every single level.
You know, so I'm kind of blessed here. I know you guys are still, what, 6-7 months removed from him getting fired and then going to Cincinnati. Because I left last July, I've got a full year clearance on this. I came away from that interview not hating Hugh Jackson. I kind of came away pitying him because he is one of two things. He is either delusional.
Correct.
Or he's lying.
Correct.
And either way,
he's two of two things.
He sounded to me like a guy who's still trying to rewrite the narratives on him, and it's not working, obviously.
Who was I on the phone with yesterday? It might have been Lima. I said, Richard Nixon tried to clear his name every day until the day he died, and he's still known as a crook. And Hugh Jackson, I think, is going to try to clear his name every single day until the day he dies. And I think he's still known as a loser, and I don't think he's ever going to get the chance to be a head coach again. And I think that he will always be known as a loser in the NFL. Nick, I don't know if anything changes that, bud.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the 336-1. I mean, we can haggle over the Chaczynskis of the world. And we, you know, I heard you guys talking earlier about how, you know, Hugh might get a break because of Browns coaches. He was historically bad, even for a Browns coach. And one of the things I thought was different was his tone when talking. I asked him, you know, what do you want the narrative to be around him? There seemed to be a tiredness in his voice. And even like the way he would at the end of the seasons, at the end of 0-16, he was always like cocky and I got to go back to the tape and all that kind of crap until about week 12. And then we saw him going to the tank. But then, you know, he'd disappear for January and you'd come back in February, you know, Radio Row time, and he'd be Hugh again. And I heard broken down Hugh. And again, he comes off as more of a sad figure than he does somebody that I'm mad about, because honestly, the Cleveland Browns are part of his fraudulent self. Not, you know, he's not alone in this.
Nick Wilson joining us on the hotline right now from down in Charlotte. He conducted an interview with our old friend Hugh Jackson yesterday. You're right about the beaten down part. You know, just juxtapose that to with the swagger that he came to Cleveland with, and then the way he doubled down after 1-15. But I have to ask you, like, at some point, shouldn't he be saying the obvious thing, which was, I need to get better as a head coach if I'm going to do this again, if I'm even going to be an offensive coordinator and be trusted with the team's offense, which we don't know if that's going to happen. Because I'm watching Jim Calhoun last night at the ESPYs, and he's talking about how he needs to be a better coach, and he's a Division III coach now, and how he says he's still evaluating himself every day. I never get the sense that Hugh is doing that.
Yeah, I actually I've known this similarity since watching Ron Rivera. I've actually been pretty critical of Ron because he's a little too old school for me. But there's a guy who constantly talks about self-scouting and evolution and trying to evolve, even if it's against your nature. I think we probably should have realized Hugh Jackson was incapable of doing the things necessary to evolve his first year in Cleveland. Because he got run out of Oakland, not because he was a bad football coach, but because he was an issue, and he went power hungry after Al Davis died. That was a huge reason why he got run out of there. And he signed up in Cleveland. And listen, we can talk about tanking or rebuilding and whether he knew the difference between the two. He knew what he signed up for, and the first thing he tried to do was throw Sashi Brown under the bus instead of just saying, we're a bad football team, and we're going to be a bad football team until we draft and play our way out of this. And his inability to take anything of it past, well, the buck stops with me, I'm the head coach. It's almost like Hugh is so good at the cliches that he doesn't actually know how to do anything beyond the cliches, actually extricate meaning from situations and find a way to better himself. I don't think he thinks he needs to better himself. I think Hugh Jackson, and I don't think I'm speaking the gospel. I feel like everybody thinks this. I think Hugh Jackson thinks everybody else is the problem. I've never met anybody in my life who they're going to get better that way if they think everybody else is the problem.
Yeah, absolutely true. Nick Wilson joining us on the show. All right, now when David Njoku was asked by Rich Eisen about Hugh Jackson, David Njoku said, we didn't like him at the end of it, and we kind of turned on him at the end of it, and there were some answers there. Lima took umbrage with that. He said that basically he's still blaming Hugh Jackson, and you can only blame a guy for so long. Now that Hugh Jackson has given these answers to you, can Browns players, when they go to camp here in a couple of weeks, respond to these questions, or should they say, we're moving on to 2019 now?
They got to move on. You can't, listen, last year, that was your fuel last year down the stretch. Hugh Jackson got fired, which was, it was Hugh Jackson's fault, but you can't blame Hugh Jackson for getting himself fired. But they used that fuel of him going to Cincinnati, and you saw that with the way that they attacked every single question about it. That happened, you can use that fuel for half a year. You can't use that going forward. Because to me, that means that you don't have enough natural fire yourself. And so I would be, I'm hoping Freddie Kitchens says, listen, man, I know what happened last year. I know the fire. Let's just move the hell on. And I hope he kind of coaches everybody. I hope the team coaches him that way, because there's no reason to have this thing linger on. You know, we all know what Hugh was. They know what Hugh was. You know, they know what Hugh did, and they know the problem that they have with him. But, you know, Hugh Jackson is in the NFL. They are in there. They got to find a way to motivate, themselves to go forward without Hugh Jackson's failures being tied to them.
Nick Wilson with us. Do you think Hugh remembered you and knew who you were during that interview?
Yeah. So my producer in helping book him said, you can go on with Nick Wilson. You know, do you remember that? And apparently there was a moment and he went, yeah. Yeah, I remember Nick. And so I don't know if maybe Hugh was lying, but I took a small bit of solace in the fact that he remembered me somewhat resignedly.
They had the Kyrie thing at 98.5 over in Boston where they thought Kyrie had called in. Correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't it your show where there was a voice where the same cadence and everything, where there was a call at night and a lot of people thought it was Hugh Jackson?
Yes.
That's why I remembered that. Yeah,
we started riffing on it. I wish I had the tape somewhere. I was skeptical at first, but the more I listened to the audio, I remember thinking, like, by God, I think that's Hugh Jackson.
I do remember that. I remember we passed that audio around. Nick, I got to ask you, the Cam Newton stuff came up. You just asked him to make a comparison. I don't know if he's auditioning Hugh Jackson for like TV or something like that. When Cam Newton's name gets brought up here, people kind of, they kind of are dismissive because he's had those injuries. It was 4 years ago now that he was the MVP of the league, and it was one of the great years for a quarterback just overall, and obviously the great season they put together and went to the Super Bowl. When we do these Cam Newton versus Baker Mayfield debates, do you think Cam Newton can still have it in him to have better seasons than someone like Baker Mayfield?
I think it just depends on what we define as better seasons. Like, I'll be honest with you, his MVP season, like, the guy was still playing through injury. So he's been, because of his physical running style, the guy's pretty much been injured for the last 4 years. But so he still was able to, with a healthy shoulder, play at an MVP level. I also think that this is one of the better teams in terms of talent and scheme around him. You know, having Norv Turner, a legitimate offensive coordinator, he's not had a legitimate offensive coordinator, you know, since maybe Rob Chudzinski, if we're going to call it that at all. So I think that helps. I do think, though, I think it's fair to have some pretty strong skepticism about Cam just because of the shoulder. I think the reality is, though, when the guy is healthy, like, we put so much into this is a cookie-cutter quarterback. You have to have 63.5% completion percentage, 2-to-1 touchdown to INT ratio. You've got to have, you know, 4,000 yards. That I think a guy like Cam Newton gets kind of underserved in the way we think about him. And again, some of that is we have not seen that Cam Newton at full effect since that MVP season. But the reality is, when the guy's healthy, and when the guy's arm is healthy, he might not have perfect mechanics. He might not fit the cookie-cutter image, but he has the ability to dominate a game in the way most quarterbacks don't. I think Deshaun Watson has that ability. I think Carson Wentz has that ability. But for a long time, it was Cam Newton. Russell Wilson is another one. I don't want to forget Russ. But, like, his ability to not just pass or not just throw a bomb, which he has a really good arm, a really strong arm, if not accurate, and then the ability, like, how many 6'5", 265-pound bowling ball quarterbacks are there that can not only succeed in the open run game, but who's a dynamic threat in the red zone? I've always felt, and it's ever since I've come down here, it's been amplified. People keep trying to put every quarterback into a cookie cutter, you know, the perfect box here of this is what a quarterback is. Cam Newton has the ability to be just as dominant as any quarterback in the NFL. The only thing that has held him back is the injuries. It's not been skill or anything else.
Nick, we thank you very much. I like what you said about Cam Newton, by the way. I think you're dead on accurate about it. We thank you very much for the time. All the very best to you.
I will give you that take. If you want that,
no,
take,
I'm not taking it from you. No, I do have to tell you, and trust me,
he doesn't want your permission. He just wants to be able to take it later.
Yeah, I'm just going to steal it anyway. I'm sorry. How do I put this? I have a theory that Hugh used you. That's coming up next. I'm sorry.
Whoa.
I need to use you for a tease.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it. Tease away.
Thank you very much, Nick. All the best, buddy.
Anytime, bud.
The great Nick Wilson on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.